In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Well, good morning to all of you.
Good morning.
How about this weather? Pretty incredible. What seeming was eons ago now, but it was so close, on September 4th of this year, Governor Scott declared a state of emergency for Florida as Hurricane Irma was heading our way. Do you remember that? Does it seem like it was so long ago or long, long time ago? In preparation for that, 100 members of the Florida National Guard were on hand. And a few days later, after the 4th, all 7,000 troops were ordered to be on duty by September 8th in preparation for Irma coming our way. It was obvious that something big and life-changing was coming. And our local officials told us, you need to prepare and get ready for this coming storm. And I got to tell you, that sent my family, who had never been through a hurricane, in a little bit of a tizzy. We had, as you can imagine, we had a 16-page document, a checklist printed out of every little thing we needed to do to get ready. And that might meant go or stay. And you've seen these checklists before. Clear out the backyard. Bring in all of the recycling and trash things. Make sure you have enough gas and oil and food. Put water in both or however many bathtubs you have, and on and on. And hurricane relief packets, and you know, you lived it. You were there. But as we tried to get some sleep the night, we felt like maybe we are prepared enough after we checked every one of these 16 pages of checklist off. And yet, as Irma still came and was hitting Jacksonville in the early hours of the morning, we still felt like maybe we're not ready. Maybe we are not as prepared as we can be. And doesn't that always seem to be, even in the day-to-day, our everyday lives, that we're always getting ready for something? And we rarely feel like we get as prepared as we need to be. Can you relate? But getting ready for Irma is nothing compared to the preparation our gospel passage is calling us to today. Before we get into the 13 verses of Matthew 25 that we have today, I wanted to share the previous chapter, just a little bit of context so you understand what we are talking about in being prepared and being ready. It's the same message that comes from the previous chapter in Matthew 24. Jesus is teaching his disciples on the Mount of Olives. And it began when Jesus had prophesied over the city of Jerusalem and the temple. Jesus' prophecies said that the city would be destroyed of Jerusalem, and the temple would also be destroyed to the point that not one stone would be left upon another. And after that, when he was on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to Jesus with some very deep questions. They say, and what you have just told us and prophesied, Jesus, tell us when these things will be, when they will occur, and what will be the signs of your coming? What will be the signs of the end of the age? Some very, very deep questions they are asking Jesus. And enter what the text we have today, Matthew 25. Our gospel this morning, and we hear the question, are you ready? Are you prepared for the arrival, the second coming of Jesus? Are you prepared? And how do you receive that question this morning? Is it more of an, oh man, just one more thing on a list that I need to check off? Or do you hear it and does it make you nervous? Does it make you a little anxious, or does it encourage you in the life that you are currently living? I ask again, are we ready? How do we prepare for the arrival of Jesus? And do we really actually take this seriously? Is it just another reading in the lectionary for just another Sunday? Or, and as we will say in the Nicene Creed, we will recite, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. Is that something by rote that we just say every Sunday, or have we ever actually taken it to heart? I mean, look at me. Certainly, I look the part. Prepared, I'm wearing an alb, I've got a cincture, I've got a stole, and I've got my Book of Common Prayer. I look ready. How about you? Dressed up in your Sunday finest, are you ready? After all, you are here to participate in the Word and the Sacrament of God. And we're all going to look like we are actually prepared on the outside. And you know, we might actually be prepared, but we have to realize that all of these things are outward things. And as wonderful as they are, as beautiful and as deep as the Word and sacraments are, and the actions that we do around them, this is really about our hearts. Are our hearts prepared? And our hearts are ready for his return by having him there and by being in relation with him already. So we have the gospel text this morning in Matthew 25, which mentions 10 bridesmaids in a great wedding feast. And five of these bridesmaids are prepared by having oil for their lamps, and five of the other five bridesmaids are not prepared, and they are called foolish. And a side note, weddings are a really big deal in the time of Jesus. They are still a big deal for all of us today, but understanding Jewish culture, we don't have enough time to do that in the homily this morning, but we will dive into that soon. But keeping with today, with the message of preparedness in our hearts, in this case, talking about the wedding and the wedding banquet in Matthew 25, it was a major moment for these 10 bridesmaids. They were the ones who would take the lead and say, "The bridegroom is coming." And they would take him towards the home and ultimately to the bride. What a job the bridesmaids had. Their job was very important, and they needed to make sure that they were ready and prepared for the largeness of this job, because they didn't know when the actual bridegroom was going to come. Now, of course, all of the bridesmaids were asleep when the big moment arrived and the bridegroom had come on the scene. And when they heard that the bridegroom was indeed here, they woke up, and some of them were prepared. As we've heard, five of them had oil, and they lit their lamps up, and they went to meet the bridegroom and to say, "He is here, he is coming." And yet the five foolish, not prepared bridesmaids, they were left to scatter around, anxious about looking for the oil, and they asked their fellow five prepared bridesmaids, "Can we have some of yours?" And they did not share it because they needed to be prepared for the arrival of the bridegroom, leaving these five unprepared to go in search of oil to the local merchant or wherever they could find it. And it was in that moment when the bridegroom finally came that they weren't ready, and they had to go in search of oil. And when they came back, after they had either found it or not found the oil, the door to the wedding banquet was closed, and they could not get in. Now today, we know that most times, oil comes easily available to us in this day and age, unless it's a hurricane and people are stocking up. You've lived that as well. We can go to the local store and we can purchase oil and fuel. It is easy to come by. Spiritually, we have had a stockpile of oil for a long time, as in forever. What exactly is this parable getting at with the oil for the lamps and the bridesmaids? It's right here. Look around you. have you experienced what this so-called oil may be? The oil for our lamps, the fuel for our lives, day in and day out, as we wait and prepare for Jesus, is the grace of God. And because of that grace, this fuel of life, we sing, we read, we listen to God's word, we pray, and we are fed with the spiritual food. Jesus is the one that lights us up. I don't know, I grew up on a ranch, and my brother and I, we have several stories of boys being boys. And have you ever seen what happens when you fire a Roman candle at a pail of gasoline? From the grace of God, this oil, Jesus is the one that lights us up. When we are ready to go out of this place, being gathered this morning, we can leave lit up by this grace of God. We have the Holy Spirit, and we are recharged, re-energized, and renewed by it. But this isn't the only place to receive that grace of God. In your own study of Scripture, as you gather together and do that, as you pray together, these are the ways that you and I become ready. There are the ways that you and I are prepared, how we wait and see for when the Lord Jesus Christ lives in our hearts now and will come again, as we remind ourselves Sunday after Sunday. We are saved by the grace of God. We are saved by the grace of God through faith. Our Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life on the cross and died for the sins of the entire world. Our Lord Jesus Christ lives. And because of the faith in Jesus crucified and risen from the dead, that is why I am invited and how I get into the great wedding banquet, and that is how you are invited and get in as well. It is all about the grace and love of Christ. In one of our lectionary readings that we didn't have in the readings for today, 1 Thessalonians 4, we hear this as a backdrop echo to the message that we hear in Matthew 25 today. 1 Thessalonians says this: "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who have died, so that you may not grieve as others do when they have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring him, those that we see no longer and those of us still on this side of glory." And at the conclusion of the reading, it says, "And now encourage or comfort one another with the reality of the death, life, and resurrection of Jesus." Therein is the grace of God, the good news for us all. And I honestly don't know a better source of comfort and encouragement than that. To know what God has done, to know what God has given us, that we are saved by grace through faith, and we have this wonderful and blessed joy of being able to come together, to worship together, to pray together, to confess, and then to know that we are lit up as our lives are being changed, and we join in the song of the prepared bridesmaids: "Here comes the bridegroom. Here comes the bridegroom." This is the great hope we have today. In a world that can seem off, we have something that has never changed and never will change, and that is our Lord and what he has done for us. And so I ask again, are you ready? Are you prepared for Jesus? Have you received his grace? Have you trusted his love and that his cross paid the price for all of our sins? I hope so, because the opportunity is there to experience the light and then to share it with this world that in large part does not even realize how much it desperately needs to be rescued. All praise be to the bridegroom. He is coming. He is here now, and he saves us all. Let's all be ready. Let's keep watch and be ready. Amen.